Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast. Whoever's still listening to this, just know that we love you. And we do this for you. We do this not because we love podcasting or each other, but because we know you guys need us. You need us more than we need you. So you better start acting right. You better start sending some goddamn emails in our fucking inbox, okay? This is not an empty threat, okay? I will just phone Sam and talk to him for an hour every week without recording it, okay? That's where you're pushing me. You're pushing me to the brink of insanity here. But happy Sunday. It is the 23rd of February in the year 2025. So far, society still stands. Also, Sam's here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I had two beers, which at my age of 33 is tough.
two beers at a poker game. We were at our poker match, as you probably say in your in Britain, right? A poker match. Left it all on the pitch. I came third, you came second. It was a hard fought game. 9 players, I think, total were participating. Best I've done at poker night in probably 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good night. It was fun. It was a fun game. Poker. Interesting game.
Interesting.
It's all about bluffing and calling and tells and all that stuff. Probability. It's hard. Hard game.
Yeah.
Hard game to master,
but once you do, you become rich, rich and famous in some cases.
Name a famous poker player.
And Agnew something Johnny.
Wow.
The kind of sassy Canadian guy with the bleached blonde hair. What's his name?
Justin Bieber?
No. Although I'm sure if he really put his mind to it, Justin Bieber could do anything. Okay, I don't know. Is my mic recording? I'm not seeing any wavelength on my end. Are you seeing?
Yep, you're good.
Okay,
you're good.
All right. Just you know how we go with our technical difficulties. Josh, let me just look up. Who is poker player famous?
Well, this proves that there aren't really any.
I have the guy's head. Daniel Negreanu.
Negroni?
Negroni, Daniel Negroni. He's the most famous, I think. Well, he's the only one. He was in a lot of commercials.
Never
he's
Canadian. Heard of him. Never Canadian. Heard of him. Oh, Canadian. Good for him. Nice.
Yeah. So you could be the next. You could be the next big poker player.
No, I have too many tells. If I have a good hand, I just start smiling. I'm like, yes.
That's the thing about our friend group is that no one ever bluffs. It's always people just waiting for a good hand. It's very rare.
Well, if to bluff, we're not good at bluffing. If you're not good at bluffing, you should not bluff.
What real poker players do is they pay attention to how everyone's playing their constantly seeing like who's betting what and when and like calculating what they could possibly have based on what they're doing, and that's how you spot when someone's bluffing or not. But
well, see, that's what I try to do. What I try to do is I either go in initially, I only go in if I have something good. So I only go in once I have something good and I win usually or something like that. Then later I will bluff a bunch and lose a bunch on purpose. So people don't think that I'm playing smart anymore. And then I'll suck them back in once I have something good.
So you'll break even at that point.
Or potentially win a huge hand.
Yeah. See, I do like, there's nothing like, I mean, there's a great feeling you get when you get a good hand and you know, say you flop like a straight or a flush. That's such a good feeling because you think you got all the power. It can fuck you if someone's got like obviously something better explaining how poker works right now. But the feeling of bluffing someone out of a big pot when you have like an absolute trash hand, that is good. That's a good high.
Yep. It's all about strategy. There's the debate. Which game is the better simulation of real strategy, chess or poker?
Is that a big debate?
I think so. I think it's a debate.
I think one game is much more...
There's a fundamental difference between the two games in that chess, all the pieces are always visible on the board. Poker, they're not.
Right. So bluffing is not really a thing. Misdirection.
No, I think it is in chess. Misdirection, yeah, in chess is a thing, yeah. Yeah.
Misdirection is a thing, but like I know, it's like you play the man, not the cards. That's the skill that makes a good poker player, is knowing all the odds and knowing how people behave when they have something good or not. And everyone's different. Anyways, I don't know. Sorry, if you can hear my son screaming in the background, it's because that's what's happening.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think it's more important. Isn't it more important to just be able to count the cards than to know anything psychological?
I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. I think one poker game.
Maybe that's blackjack. There's no bluff. Is there bluffing in blackjack? Not really.
No. Blackjack is the card counting, but you do count cards in poker. I don't think it's as difficult in poker, right? If you're watching someone betting and they, you know, each time the house, each time there's a card turned over on the table, you're going to kind of be like, all right, he's probably got this, this, or this, or he's got nothing, right? It's always the option that they're bluffing completely, but you can kind of guess by looking at what's on the table and when they raised and all that type of stuff. I mean, amateur poker anyways, I'm sure it's like in the pro poker world, there's like a whole another level of watching people play and watching how they bet and then deciding what they have. But like when I watch like the pros play poker, but whenever it comes down to the last two people, they basically can guess what each other has lots of the time.
Really?
Well, I'm talking out of my ass. I'm just talking because you got to keep talking when you're podcasting or else you're going to lose your listeners. And we don't want to lose any of our four or five listeners.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that why when they're playing poker, they wear so much weird shit to like hide their tells? Like they wear like jewelry and sunglasses and weird hats and stuff.
Yeah.
Like camouflage to hide the tells.
Some of the women, they just get the big fake cannons and just put them out there. Put them out there, which is cheating, I think, but. Like someone showing up with assless chaps and then
it's psychological warfare. This is poker.
Yeah.
There's no dress code. There's none of that. This is a bar game. There's gotta be
a dress code for like the World Series of poker.
No. Have you seen them? They're nuts. Those people, they've got like huge funky hats on and stuff.
That's insane. That's insanity.
Well, it's super distracting. It's all about breaking your,
A lot of it's about building your brand too, right?
Oh, because there's celebrities. Yeah.
Yes, they get endorsements and sponsors and stuff, just like any other famous gamer or athlete. Mm-hmm. You got to be more than just good at the game. You got to be an interesting person to watch on TV if you really want to make it big.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Anyway, yeah, poker, fun game. Very reminiscent of real life.
Too many beers for Sam.
Yeah, very reminiscent of real life in that the people with the most chips quickly assert dominance over those with less chips.
Do you think if you played poker with Bernie Sanders and he was down bad, he would start giving big speeches during his turn about oligarchies and wealth disparity?
I bet he'd be a great poker player.
I bet he'd be an excellent poker player, but that would be funny if he started going off on one of his rants.
That's the thing with poker is it's like there's like a negotiating process in poker where you're betting and the strength of you can bet more, you can bully people. Like it's if you have like 1,000 chips and they have 10 chips, then they're out, they're done, they're finished, the game is over for them.
Yes, and you can bluff. I mean, it's not even bluffing. You're just like, you can test the confidence in what like weaker short stack players have, right? Because you can just raise whatever half their pile and see how they react, even though that's nothing to you. But you'll know if they don't jump in, then you probably just double, like, bully them with your chips, right? If they're not going to be like, oh shit, I'm going to call that right away, you know they probably don't have something fantastic. So you're like, all right, what are they willing to risk? You just bully them with the chips, and this is it's a strategy. It's a strategy in the game of poker.
Yep. Pretty much what Trump is doing to Ukraine right now, basically. He's saying, like, look, Russia has all the chips. You don't have any chips. So what few chips you do have, we're going to get those chips. Or you have no chips.
I thought this was supposed to be settled on day one. I thought this was going to be such an easy war to settle. It wasn't even, it's going to make your head spin how fast Trump settles his war.
Yeah, well.
Now he's saying basically it was Ukraine's fault.
No, it was Ukraine's fault. It was. They should never have started it, is what he said.
Oh, but it's not the aggressor. It's not the invading country's fault. It's basically. No,
he said Ukraine should never have started it. That's what he said.
What the fuck? What does that even mean? What was Ukraine wearing?
Yeah. It's because he just repeats whatever Putin tells him in phone calls, I think.
Ah, right. Then we got I am become meme, the cringe lord of of the US government, Elon Musk. Holy man, that guy needs to take down his ketamine dose a little bit before he goes on stage at these things, because that shit was awkward as hell.
Oh, with the president of Argentina walking out, like looking, he has the same haircut as the fucking the guy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and wears the same kind of like suit, and looked exactly like the guy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre when he was walking out.
Sideburns and everything.
Yeah, that's the president of Argentina who did a crypto rug pull on his own country.
Didn't Donald Trump do that too? Rug pull?
Not when he was president. This guy was president and promoted the coin through his official channels, and then rug pulled his own country.
And he's still elected?
Well.
Or has there been elections since that happened? Or do they have elections? I don't know anything about Argentina.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Well, I just watched clips, and I have become meme clip makes me want to disappear into my own asshole when I see it.
Oh, fortunately, I haven't seen this clip.
Oh my God. It's like the most, anyways, I can't even talk about that shit right now. It's just so fucking weird. It is like a weird fever dream happening down there. Some people think it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And I guess it depends on what propaganda you're consuming.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, hopefully a lot of people don't think it's great. I think the approval for it is actually very low.
Well, no one asked for this. Not even Trump supporters asked for Elon to basically become the new face of the America. Like, why is he in the Oval Office? What the fuck is he doing in there?
Well, they know this is my thinking, is that they know these first 2 years of his term, they're never going to have more political power than they do now. So yeah. They are just trying to cause as much damage as possible to the federal government that Elon can, like, I have no idea what these people are doing. Like, Elon is under so many different investigations from so many different federal agencies because of he has all these contracts.
Yeah.
And he's under investigation. He's like for safety problems with stuck with SpaceX and also like fraud problems with Tesla stock manipulation and animal abuse with Neuralink, all sorts of investigations into his shit. Like to the point where he was joking before the election that if Biden or if Kamala won, he'd go to jail because of how many investigations there were. And so but like now he's got his people, his like super loyal Elon youth are in all of these agencies that are investigating him with unfettered access. And it seems like they are not keeping good records of what they do. They're not very transparent. So there is this pattern of disorganization, not good record keeping, no supervision. So it seems pretty clear to me that it's like let's make a huge mess. And oops, what if some critical information for these investigations goes missing? What if the people who are responsible for carrying these investigations get fired in this mess? Mm-hmm. What happens if these agencies that are supposed to be investigating me accidentally get gutted and can't do these investigations anymore? What if that would be a shame if that happened?
Whoopsie daisy.
That's what I think is going on.
I mean, okay, so here's the two worries that I hear from people is, well, people on the right think that, well, not all of them, obviously, but there's a lot of people I've seen saying like, hey, this is great. They're uncovering a ton of fraud in the government. And it's like, all right, well.
But they're not. They haven't uncovered any fraud. All they uncover is that money is being spent on things they ideologically don't agree with. And they call it fraud. And they just lie about the numbers. They just lie. They say tens of millions of people received like Social Security when they shouldn't have. Actual number is less than 50,000.
Right.
Out of tens of millions of people. Right. So they just lie. And then they use the lie to justify the very things that they're doing.
Right.
They just lie. And then they take the lie and they use it to justify destroying the programs that they ideologically don't agree with.
One of the things I saw today was they're spending this much money on toilets that have butthole anus scanners on them.
Yeah.
And you find out that that's not for like shits and giggles, for lack of a better term. It's a new technology that can help early detection on like rectal cancer and colon cancer. So it's not like it's not being used for something important.
Yeah.
But if you just say, oh, they're putting in these goofy toilets that scan your butthole, it's like, that sounds like a waste of money.
Yeah. Well, and there's no transparency. Like, let me go to the Doge website right now. The official Doge, doge.gov.
Doge.gov. And then there's like the whole trying to get rid of the executive branch or something that when he tried to... what was that executive order from last week that everybody was up in arms about unifying the executive branch or something? I don't know. Here's what my problem is that everybody, no matter what I see on the internet, it's either the worst thing that's ever happened or it's just so hard to take anything at face value now. Because everybody's lying so much or distorting the truth so much that you have to like be a full-time fact checker to get to the fucking bottom of it.
Yeah. I mean, you have no way to know anything that is being said.
Yeah. Ugh,
gross.
Gross. Are you looking up Doge right now?
Well, it's just they updated the website, but it's just like it's just stuff that they're like, oh, they spent money to build a, I don't know, like a, it's just, I don't see any, there's no fraud. It's just like,
I mean, there's gotta be some fraud. It's a huge organization. There's gotta be some misallocated spending happening or some wasteful spending, but
yeah, but that's not,
is it worth giving up that? Like, it seems like Trump isn't, I mean, besides the, stuff like banning trans people from sports or the military or whatever, like stuff that you can do in one stroke of a pen. I don't know if people have really, like a lot of the stuff he's going after, but I don't think people really voted for, like him wanting Canada and Greenland and Panama and shit like that. Like he didn't run on that. As far as I know, grocery prices aren't coming down. I also hear the deportations of the 20 million illegals is not going smoothly or quickly. That one was like an obvious, like, of course you're not going to be able to do that quickly. I think last I read, there was only like 11,000 deportations so far. Which again, how do I know if that's true? I can't unless I want to like go get nitty gritty as a fucking online sleuth and find the facts. But this is what I've read when I've researched, hey, how many illegals have been deported since Trump came into office? And the number I saw was 11,000. Let's check that again right now. I'm just going to Google, nothing fancy, how many illegals have been deported since Trump became sub-president. All right, here we go. Now we're looking at homelandsecurity.gov. Let's see. Oh, this article's from January 26th. Okay, that's useless. Nothing recent here. I can't find anything. Numbers. Deportation underway. Trump is angry. Deportation numbers are not higher. Well, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find exact numbers. Okay. Let's see here. Hundreds. I don't fucking know. I can't find a number. Anyways, this is not good podcasting. We're going to lose listeners like this. The quota, 75 arrests per day. What is it? Unhappy with the daily evasive visitors of mystery community. Quota, 25. No, floor, not a ceiling. I don't know. What are we doing here, Sam? What are we even fucking talking about?
I don't know. I'm just listening to this Google's epic Google search that you're doing.
I'm seeing during the 7 days between, so they did 5,000 migrants, arresting 5,000 migrants. I don't know how many of those actually ended up getting deported.
Yeah, probably not very many at the end of the day. I don't think they have the real willpower or the money to do it.
Well, think about it. If you go to someone's house and you knock on the door, like, this is going to end up being people having to go breaking into houses and pulling people out of their beds. Like, it's going to take time and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it, because I think the public reaction would be so terrible.
I think if people saw the reality of that unfolding in their cities, it would be kind of off-putting for sure.
Yeah, even to people that voted for it. Yeah, people talk such a big game about, like, oh, round them all up. And then it's like, oh my God, my neighbors are getting pulled out of
not
their house.
Not them. Not the ones that I buy my tacos from in the morning.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah.
Anyways.
Because if you're really serious about it, it's really ugly to physically remove millions of people from the country.
And separate them from their kids.
Separate their families. Like, yeah. That's horrible.
I'm all for kicking out criminals. I am.
It's exactly what the worst governments in history have done.
Mm.
Though all the worst regimes that you hear about, what do they usually do? They round up millions of people, separate families, and just fucking ruin everything for everybody.
Well, fun. Now, do you think that this is, you always hear the, okay, let's just, one more question, let's get out of politics, because it's so goddamn annoying to me right now. But do you think we are witnessing just an incompetent administration flailing, trying to get money and get rich quick, and then before they get kicked out of office in a couple of years? B, a true fascist uprising where Trump will be seeking a third term. There's already been bills passed that are wanting to him to be allowed to do that. There's the Third Term Project, which I don't know if you've heard about, but that's like an advocacy group for that. So we're going to basically Nazi Germany 2.0, or is it more of what Bernie Sanders is saying, is like, America's just becoming an oligarchy and we're going to be completely controlled by the corporations, and they're going to have all the power and the wealth? Which of those three circumstances are we witnessing? Is it a mix of all three? What are your thoughts, Sam?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of the three. I think, Trump is a narcissistic maniac who believes everything he says about wanting to have Greenland and have Canada. I think he believes all that stuff. He believes all this stuff, but he's too incompetent and too unfocused to actually get anything done. The people mm-hmm. around him are also too untalented for the most part to actually do anything, because he's so off-putting himself. So he does not actually have the best people.
It seems like his criteria for getting picked as a cabinet person is like, how many hours do you have on national television? Like,
yeah. Are you a billionaire?
Wayne Gretzky would make a great governor of Canada. Like, yeah. Why? Because he's the most famous one I know of.
Yeah. Are you a billionaire? Okay, That's one. Did you commit sexual assault? That's two.
Mm-hmm.
And are you famous? That's three.
There you go.
But okay. So he's incompetent. And then it's also the oligarchy takeover, because he's so transactable. You can literally just buy him and he'll kiss your ass. Mm-hmm. So the billionaires have all moved in with their quid pro quos. They will do whatever culture war changes you want to make to the maps. You want to change it from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America? Sure, we'll do that for you. No problem. Just give us this $2 trillion tax cut, which is coming down the pipe.
Mm.
So basically, they're getting crazy tax cuts for the rich in America again. The average person will pay more in taxes, and the rich will get a tax break, as promised. And so, yeah, it's just ever inching. And then they're basically trying to do as much possible damage to the federal government as they can, so that inevitably the government will have to farm out more and more of its functions to private industry, which they would like to see. So, yes, we're moving more and more towards cyberpunk 2077. Yeah.
Which is exactly what Elon wants. He wants that. He wants to be the the big. He wants to move us into a cyberpunk like society as quickly as possible.
Yeah, Blade Runner for him is his dream.
Yeah,
he wants to be Jared Leto in Blade Runner. That's cool.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I feel surprised when I meet a Canadian who doesn't seem to be off put by Trump's just like nonchalant suggesting of just forcing itself on our country, as far as like, we're just going to take it against your will. Like, that's basically how he's a rapist on all fronts here. It's like, how are you not mad that he thinks he can just force you to become part of his country? Is that not offensive to you as a Canadian?
Well, a lot of people buy into the idea that all that really matters is power and wealth.
Yeah, well, it's true in a lot of ways, unfortunately. But it's one thing to be like, all right, Canada, I'm going to like make you a deal. Like, let's negotiate. We can do this. But now he's like, I don't care what you think. It's going to happen. You're going to be the 51st state, whether you like it or not. That's basically the rhetoric I keep hearing. It's like, all right, that's a totally different thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who think they would like to have an authoritarian government in charge. And I think they think that because they've never actually lived under one before.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I think as soon as you live under one, you realize like, oh my God, this sucks. Unless you're like friends with the like elite power group.
Yeah. It sucks. I think it's one of these things where people in the US, they just know it's too big. There's too many people that are opposing him. There's too many people that are used to knowing what it's like to live as a free person. Yeah. So I don't see the total fascist takeover, aka Hitler 2.0 thing being a reality.
All these billionaires have somehow deluded themselves. Like, they think because they like drive through San Francisco on the way to their Silicon Valley offices and they see all the homeless people living in tents, like shitting mm-hmm. on the street in San yeah. Francisco. They think like, oh my God, it's like 1930s Germany. Like, it's the world's falling apart. Now is the time. Now is the right moment for us to take over, because things are so bad. People will tolerate anything. And it's like, I don't think things are actually that bad, honestly.
Well, that's the thing is like, it is like, clearly the downtown cores of our cities need help. And there's a lot of like the fentanyl crisis and drug crisis is bad, but
that's bad.
But as a
it's highly
personally,
visible.
I don't get, I just avoid the tent cities and you wouldn't even know that it doesn't affect my life in that it very strongly. Maybe it's just cause I don't live downtown. I may be speaking from a location of privilege here, but if I don't look at it and I don't go down there and like actually go get in the mix, I don't find that it affects me very much.
Well, it's very visible, and it affects you if you have to work downtown or you
yeah for
these
sure.
places it affects you. It's highly visible and highly annoying, but it's not like the conditions in our society are not even remotely like the conditions that existed in the Weimar Republic in Germany.
Right.
When there's like constant street battles between communists mm-hmm. and fascists. And
I mean, again, it's another
Deutschmarks.
I know it's a fallacy to be like, oh, I don't experience it. That's like, obviously it's like, but in my life, I don't really know many people that are going hungry or can't afford at least, you know, a certain base level of groceries. Now, again, I know that just because I don't know doesn't mean it's not happening. Obviously, it's happening. But I do think that there is a tendency to paint society as much, much worse than it really is right now.
Yeah, because then they can – it's the classic things politicians do is they use the fear and crisis to get more control.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been about – it's always going to be – it's like the go-to is immigration is fucked right now. So it's an easy one to point to and be like, look how fucked it is.
Well, but
there's a lot of things going on out there that I don't know. It's
immigrate. They're just pausing immigration because of populist sentiment, but
right.
It'll be back. Don't
you
worry.
Think so?
Oh yeah. Canada can't function without immigration.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that we need immigration, but like, I think it was
even the conservatives know this. They just capitalize on the populist sentiment basically. And the fact that they did admittedly bring in like way too many people way too quick, but whatever.
Way too many.
But of course the cure is not necessarily to just completely ban all immigration, but anyway, whatever.
Do you think there's a chance that the Liberals win another election?
Yeah, I do. I think there's nothing Canadians like more than distinguishing themselves from Americans. And the last thing any Canadian, I think, will tolerate is having a Trump-friendly person in office anyone ideologically aligned with Trump is just a big no-no, I think.
Didn't Pierre Poilievre come out and say he's not going to play nice with the tariffs and everything, the trade war?
I don't believe that for a second. I think,
okay. Well,
he'll sell Canada to Trump first chance he gets.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, of course.
See, I feel like I have to fucking spend so much time researching the guy, finding everything he's ever said on camera, all the times he's been fucking proven to be a liar. And then I'll weigh it all out to try and find what the actual picture of reality is. Because I just saw a clip of him being like pretty hard on the response to Trump as far as the tariffs go, saying like we can do this the easy way or the hard way was basically what he was saying to Trump. So if I had only seen that clip, I would think this guy is going to stand up to Trump.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Anyways, that's something that's been very frustrating. Is like now everybody's so like politics has become so entrenched in everyone's daily lives that it's like you have to be like, and everybody's lying so much on both sides that it's like, how do I know what the fuck to believe now? And that's probably on purpose.
Well, I think just do your research and don't listen to the propaganda, but pay attention to like what people are actually doing.
That's I just don't want to spend all my free time researching whether politicians are lying to me or not.
Well, like about which? Don't listen to, don't get your news from politicians at all. Like, period. Don't listen to them about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should go into it like already understand, figure out what's going on yourself and then see which politician is the most likely to pull the levers that favor what you think should be done.
Do you think it's good to just like read all their platforms and just...
No, don't waste your time. Well, okay, maybe read their... I mean, yeah, read their platform a little bit, but pay more attention to who are their donors, that kind of thing. What have they what have they voted for and against in the past?
Right.
Pay attention to that stuff. Do they have interest in business? Like, what are their potential conflicts of interest? Pay attention to that stuff. Because politicians are just people. And their job is to pull a lever. And that lever is their vote. And they pull it for you or they pull it for you if you make it worth their while, I think.
Corruption.
Yeah, I mean,
through,
it's like...
through.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Chelsea. You want to say hi to our listeners?
Hi, listeners.
You could just say listener probably at this point, but
hi, 10 listeners.
Let's get out of the politics here. Let's get into the future. This Microsoft chip, it's got me very excited. It's got me very intrigued here. Oh wait, first of all, I had a great UFO dream.
Oh no. Oh yeah, I was supposed to remind you.
I think you would appreciate. I had a dream. Okay, I was at a hotel this week because me and the wife, we get away and for one night or sometime just to keep our sanity and keep that spark alive, you know what I'm saying? But I was at this hotel and I had a dream when I was there that I woke up in the night and I went out on the balcony and I could oversee all of the city. And I look up in the sky and 80% of the sky is filled with this interstellar galactic kind of starship hovering above. And you can just kind of make it out with the lights in the sky as this massive object. And then I look around and on my balcony and on every doorstep and every balcony in the entire city, I see these drones hovering there. And the drones don't look like the drones. They look like literally like they all look like, you know, those like classy dildos that you can buy at Chapters. You know what I mean?
They sell dildos at Chapters?
Yes, they do. Or they did. It was controversial. But you know what I mean? It's not like shaped like a dick. It's shaped like a fucking sculpture or something.
Like a book shaped.
Yeah. It's kind of like the sales statue downtown. You know, it was just like, you know, okay. It's a dildo, but you could leave it out and people might not know. It was all those hovering and they were like this deep crimson red. Okay. And me and my wife stood on the balcony. We looked and there was one on our balcony and it started like vibrating and shaking. And then I saw all the drones in the city doing the same thing. And then it just like this like pitch and this light and this energy all started getting dialed up. And I just thought we were, and I think we got abducted or we all got killed. I'm not sure. I woke up, but, so can you interpret that? Was that a real transmission from an incoming starship? Are there going to be dildo drones hovering on our doorstep soon?
Well, there are drones that are, how do you put it? They're not like how do you describe it? Like imagine like a shoebox vertically flying around. There are drones like that. Yeah. There are drones like that are longer than they are wide or whatever.
Well, these ones didn't have any sort of visible propeller system of any kind. They were just kind of hovering there. Hovering dildos.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a dream about dildos, giant flying dildos.
Okay, maybe it wasn't aliens. Or maybe the aliens kind of, they like dildos, you know? They're all about that anal penetration, if you believe.
Maybe the aliens are dildo-shaped.
Maybe they are.
Leading to awkward cultural faux pas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, what if aliens get here and they're so, like, they're really, like, they're behind. They got our back as a species. They want to help, right? They're like, they come here and they're like, you guys need help. You're about to destroy yourself. Your society's fracturing. We've been watching you for a long time and we want to nurture you to become like a type 2 civilization, right? We want you to have access to the stars, baby. So we're here to help you. And they basically gift us all this amazing technology and everything, but they're like disgusting. They smell like shit. They look disgusting. We can't stand the sight of them. So we decide to reject their offers of helping because they're unsightly and gross and stink.
Well, this sounds a lot like the novel Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke, where the aliens show up. And it's kind of like this, but in reverse, where the aliens show up and they like slowly let people get accustomed to their ships.
Yeah.
Being present, just like sitting in the sky.
What the? That's what fucking that alien interpreter guy I watched said.
Yeah.
He stole it from a book.
Yeah, and then they transmit information from their ships, and teach people all these amazing things. Humanity enters like this golden age. Everything's great, and then they come out of the ships finally, after people have learned to love them, and they are like they look like actual like demons. And then they reveal that they are developing psionic humans, like telepathic humans, to replace like they're like doing genetic engineering basically to transform humanity into a telepathic species, and like all sorts of crazy shit happens. But even they turn out to serve an overlord as well. The Overmind, I think it's called.
Damn. So
basically all conscious life must join together in this hive mind.
So
yeah.
Back to the new form of matter, a new state of matter has been invented, if you believe the headlines. Microsoft has invented what is called topographical matter.
Topographical matter,
which is only a state that can is only a state of matter that can exist in the quantum realm, right? But it's not liquid or gas or solid. And they've invented this material, and with this material have been able to construct the first million qubit computer chip that can do quantum computing, which will make, and they claim that their one chip has more computing power than the whole entire planet's computing power combined, which if true,
easily
huge, if true,
it would have more than even more than that. It would have more than we could ever build, probably.
If Microsoft isn't blowing smoke up our ass, what does this mean, do you think? For, I mean, on the very simple end, it means passwords are not going to be useful anymore, because this thing can just guess every password possible instantly.
Yeah, well, I think this is like still far away from actually being like a...
Not according to the hype videos I've been watching. They've been saying this new topographical material that they've invented has just brought.
But so does the chip need to be at absolute zero to work?
I don't know. I haven't been doing enough research, obviously. Okay. But
Microsoft new chip.
Even if that's true, you only need a couple of them operating, right?
Okay, I think this one, let me see.
Yes, it does need to be.
Okay, yeah, so you can't have this in your house. Like, no one's going to have this.
This won't
There's
be...
There's like only one in the world, probably.
Yeah.
It's a super experimental object, super experimental device. They only have one, maybe, that has to be at absolute zero to work, tuned with magnetic fields and stuff. Like, this is like... I don't think no one's going to be using these in business for a while. I don't think.
But is that going to be needed? Maybe we only need one to make the amazing changes that they claim it can do. Like it can just simulate. It can just run millions and millions of simulations in an instant to find like the next cure for whatever disease or whatever chemical structure would be best for this new building material is another example I saw. Or what is the absolute best way to fight climate change with the least amount of money or resources allocated? And it can just like tell you right away.
No, they can't do any of that stuff yet.
Okay.
They're just like proving that they can like turn it on and send the, they're proving that they can entangle the qubits and do the quantum teleportation. I think that's all that what they've managed to do.
That's it.
Yeah, but they don't know how to. They don't know how to do it. They're still like trying to figure out how to actually just make the computer be a computer. They haven't figured out how to, like, really use it yet, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. Well,
like these are they're still designing the device itself. They're still a long way away from.
You're thinking it's actually overhyped? Overhyped?
No. The hype is real. The hype is real. The hype is real, but
has quantum computing become more of a less of science fiction and more present day technology because of this?
Well, it's been real for a while, but these are just the breakthroughs. Like these are like the steady breakthroughs that mean it's getting more and more real by the day. Yeah, but it's still a long way away because it's very experimental. They're not running complex models or anything. They don't really have like a real computer yet. They're still experimenting.
Thus, that's why there's not been any sort of uptick in the Microsoft stock, I guess.
Yeah, like they're still a long way away from because they have one of these, but this one of these isn't the whole story. Then you need a whole bunch of them. And then you need to, yeah. So they still have a long way to go. There's a long way to go. 2050, I think, at least.
Okay. 2050, say,
these but things you, become but ubiquitous. It's so important. It's so important that people have to pay attention to it now, because when they do come online, they are going to be such a game changer in terms of computing power. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So you have to start planning for it like decades in advance.
Ooh, maybe it'll be coming quicker than that. Maybe 2035, maybe 10 years.
Maybe some aspects of it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it will be like really here until like 2050, but yeah, maybe 2035, some secret government programs will start running using it or something.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
But it's being developed all around the world. It's not just being developed by Microsoft and that. It's being developed in China as well.
And but China Microsoft, I think, is responsible for this new state of matter. Like they're
I don't know. Yeah, who knows? I have no idea. Topological matter, maybe.
I'm not making this up. This is what I've been reading.
No, I just don't know. Did they? Oh, this is what Microsoft said?
Yeah.
Topo conductor. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I know IBM also has a quantum chip. Like lots of these companies have their own quantum chips that they're working on. And that's another reason to know that it's not like fully here yet, is there's different approaches being taken to it. It's still not even worked out what's the best way to make a quantum computer yet.
Well, I hope that we can, it can take gaming to the next level, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing, is when they do come online, the things that they will be able to do, like you could actually simulate reality at a level that we can't even imagine. Like the modeling, the simulations that they'll be able to do will be absolutely incredible. So that's
And then where do we go from there? Imagine if that tech came out tomorrow, right? And it was fully functional. What does society look like after that day?
Well, if it came out tomorrow, everything would be absolutely fucked, because you could crack any encryption immediately. It would just wreck everything in the world. Insane.
Okay,
but if it comes out when it's supposed to come out, which is after they've already figured out how to do quantum encryption. So once they figure out, they'll do quantum encryption first, then they'll allow quantum computing to become.
I think they've already figured out quantum encryption. That was based on, I'm saying that based on a comment I read below a video about this shit. I get most of my information from comment sections.
Okay, yeah. I mean, maybe they
highly vetted, I find.
Yeah. Maybe they did already figure it out and they just are keeping it secret. Who knows? I think they have to figure that out first.
Can't I get excited about anything these days?
No, don't get excited. Just stay calm.
I want to get excited. I want quantum computing. I want the aliens to make contact. I want real disclosure.
Get excited about new mittens for Sullivan.
Of course, that really, when it comes down to it, that's the only thing that's worth getting excited about. But like, you know, it's fun to just imagine like a moment in time where someone invents something and it just changes the entire landscape of society, like the internet did in some ways, and computers, home computers.
You're an addict. We've been getting that since we were born.
I know.
Game changing tech coming along like every 2 years.
I get bored quickly. I need something game changing again. I need game changing. Change the game. I'm bored.
Change the channel, goddammit.
Give me a piece of technology that can make me like not like totally change my plans for the rest of my life.
AI is already here. Yeah.
AI is great. I mean, that was the big thing in the last two
just
years.
Just so you know, DeepSeek has a backdoor to the Chinese government. Just so you know that.
I don't care. TikTok. So does the Chinese government probably own.
Yeah. Also, so does TikTok. Yeah. Think about that when you use that app.
I don't. I mean, sure, I'll think about it. But DeepSeek, it's so much better than ChatGPT.
Big Brother is watching you.
Well. I guess hello, Xi Jinping. I don't know. What's his name again?
Xi Jinping.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
What country has the most executions?
Whoa. It's got to be somewhere in the Middle East, right?
China.
China,
the world's most active user of the death penalty. China executes more people than the rest of the world combined.
Whoa. But
the death penalty for all crimes do not apply to the two special administrative regions, Hong Kong and Macau. So that's probably partly because they have the highest population in the world, but it also seems like they are a little bit liberal with
a little liberal with the death penalty. How do they do it over there? Is it an injection, firing squad, make them go to a wet market?
Yeah, you have to go buy the
go shopping at a wet market. that's your death sentence.
China bath tunnel. I think it's hanging. Let me check.
Hanging? That seems a little brutal.
Yeah. Capital punishment, lethal injection, or by shooting. Okay.
Which one would be your go-to?
If I had to pick one?
Yeah.
Ugh. Can I jump out of a plane without a parachute?
Okay, if you had to pick a way to kill yourself,
at least it would be fun.
That's my thing. If I know everything's about to get fucked, right? If this asteroid hits us and whatever, and they're like confirming it's going to hit us, I'd probably do the plane jump or a high building jump.
I would definitely go for jumping out of a plane, maybe above New York City at night on New Year's Eve.
They're going to be celebrating New Year's Eve at that point?
Yeah, I'm going to land right on the stage, right
It's my execution.
I get to pick at least the time and the place.
You do? Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I want to be dropped on the New Year's Eve celebration in New York City.
I want to be dropped onto an island with an uncontacted tribe and see if I can become some sort of deity. But you're going to
infect the germs from your body, will infect them. That's wrong. Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Well, I'll die anyways then because I can't support myself.
You're going to kill them with like measles and.
I don't have measles. What are you talking about?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, maybe not. But even a flu. Maybe not. Maybe, just like a cold maybe could kill them because they have no immune system.
I'm feeling pretty good that day before my execution.
Yeah, well, that's why you're not supposed to go to North Sentinel Island. One of the main reasons is they don't have the immune system.
Yeah.
For our modern germs.
Diseases.
Yep.
Okay, here, I think jumping out of, as long as the death is instant, that's really the main thing. That's the thing about the lethal injection. It feels like it's such a slow process. You know, they inject you with like the numbing chemical, then the paralyzing chemical, and then all this shit. And it's just like you're alive for that whole thing. Firing squad, I would take if I knew for sure the first bullet was going to be a headshot.
You don't want to get shot in like the gut.
You don't want to get shot in the stomach. That's apparently incredibly painful.
Yeah. Oh, here, this is interesting. Okay. So I'm reading from Wikipedia. Okay. Historical background of capital punishment in China. Capital punishment was one of the classical five punishments of China's dynastic period. In Chinese philosophy, capital punishment was supported by the legalists, but its application was tempered by the Confucians, who preferred rehabilitation and mercy over capital punishment.
Woke.
Confucius did not oppose capital punishment absolutely, but did take the view that in a well-ordered society based on moral persuasion, capital punishment would become unnecessary.
Interesting, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. A little philosophy for the Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we are a philosophy podcast. The end of the day, that's what we're supposed to be.
Well, I mean, that sounds pretty similar. I mean, who knows? This is from Wikipedia. But yeah, so Confucius taking the view that the right way to solve problems is not by killing people. But
well, the rest of history disagrees with you.
Yeah, the problem. Yeah, I mean, he sees the big picture. You know, I mean, it's the question, right? Do you just kill the people who cause the problems, or do you try to stop the people from becoming people who cause problems by making society more just?
I'm just surprised Confucius was a real person. I thought it was kind of like a Plato situation.
Plato is a real person.
What's he?
Socrates, you're thinking.
Socrates, sorry. I thought it was like Socrates
is also probably, very probably a real person.
All right, fine. What were we talking about? Chinese government,
Capital
Backdoor, punishment. Backdoor. Oh, DeepSeek.
Yeah.
That it is better than ChatGPT, as far as I'm concerned, and it's faster. But anyways, the point is that what I was saying was this AI revolution that we're going through right now, that is like a game changing technology. But it's, you know, it's getting old now. I need something new. I need a new game changer. Okay. I need these AI agents to come online. That's what I need.
What would you use your AI agent for if you had one?
Well, basically right now when I use AI, I ask it advice and it gives me good information, or it can write me stuff, right? It can write me code even. It can write me code. I use code that it wrote me on my mom's website. And so it can give you all the information you need to execute something, but it cannot execute it for you. The AI agent would execute it for me. So basically all I would need to do is go to my to-do list. As long as it's within the digital realm, I can just check out, I can just feed my to-do list into the AI and it will figure out the best way to accomplish something and use an AI agent to get it done itself. So it would just be like, basically you're a middleman.
Hmm. Well, are you worried that this would make you unable to solve problems, or do you think it would just facilitate you and you just operate at a higher level?
I think it would take the, it would free up brain power for other
brain power.
Well, this is kind of what I'm thinking and hoping for when it comes to like the art generation AI stuff. Like AI is getting so good with, it's going to be pretty good in, you know, as far as video generation, it's already gotten pretty good to the point where I've been fooled by many AI videos and thinking I'm watching something that's real. That's not. But people are going to be like, so it's like, the reality is, say animation, for example, it's going to be taking animation jobs left, right, and center over the next 5 years for sure. Right.
Mm.
Stuff like that. You know, people are going to be decorating their houses with AI generated art in few years too, right? People are going to stop caring pretty quickly.
I don't know.
I think it was, but that isn't necessarily a bad
generated
thing.
Art just feels so empty. Most art feels empty.
Most art feels. But imagine a world where Joe Blow can have this amazing story in their head, right? Something completely unique that they could come up with, and they now have the power to turn that into a fucking Netflix series just on their own computer.
Yeah, but no one's going to pay $500 for an AI generated painting. Print. It can't actually paint.
Right. The economy is going to be different as far as art goes. I don't know. It's so hard to predict anything.
It's all it can do is mass produce inauthentic bullshit. That's all it can do. And we already have a ton of that. Now it's just going to be made by AI. Like it may be a little bit better. The inauthentic, the tons of inauthentic junk that exists might be a little bit better and cheaper to make.
Think of it this way. Instead of having it generate the ideas for you, the artist can have the idea and not be held back by their lack of technical ability or money to make that idea come to fruition. So
art, but okay, you have an idea, but the execution is really what matters.
So I have this idea for a movie that would be a great movie, but I don't have the budget of a big studio. I can't.
But how detailed is this idea? How much do you actually know about this idea? Like, do you have storyboards? Do you know what each shot is? Do you know who you're going to cast? Like, how fleshed out is this?
No, you don't have to cast anyone because it's going to be AI actors. But
actors? How do you know what they should be? Like, how would you cast AI? Casting is hard.
You describe. You know what the character looks like in your head, and then you get AI. What?
You know that?
Yeah.
Then this is over. You're overdeveloping it. It'll never work. You can't program an actor to carry out a series of precise expressions. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
You naysayer.
I'm going to be. The only way they do this is by stealing real performances.
And I think what's going to happen is people are going to become there's going to be zero latency between a person's idea and it becoming an actual observable piece of art.
Okay, but here's my thing with that, right? So when you say a person's idea, you'll tell the AI, "I want Dune meets Clifford the Big Red Dog," or something like
that. Yeah, and that'll spit out some junk. But if you're like, "I have this epic story in mind, I have all the characters in mind, I have all the aesthetic in mind, I have every shot in my head, but I do not have access to a movie studio or actors or or any of that shit," that person will now be able to make their vision a reality via AI. And that will be still good art.
Through dialogue with the AI, they'll artificially generate the movie, basically.
Yes, and so they'll be like, "I need this starship to look like this," and AI will generate it and be like, "That part's not quite right, right." And then with the angle's not quite right. We need this from a bird's eye view for this shot, and then we're going to do...
Okay, so it's like AI film studio.
Basically, you can dictate AI... and it'll do what you want, and you don't need a studio. You don't need actors. You don't need a film camera.
You have a virtual studio. You've stolen the career of some actor and downloaded all their expressions and stuff. And now you can put them in the movie and animate.
Right.
Them.
I can be like, AI, here's the opening shot.
Click and pull, click and drag Matt Damon over from the bar, put him down in the chair.
No, you don't need Matt Damon anymore. You don't need Matt Damon anymore.
No, it's not really Matt Damon. It's his avatar, digital avatar. You license his avatar.
No.
Because you're making Jason Bourne meets Clifford the Big Red Dog.
See, you're not thinking originally enough. You keep bringing in other movies and smashing them together.
I'm thinking like Hollywood. You mix and match IPs.
That's what I'm saying is that Hollywood will have no power anymore. Anyone with an original idea can make a high-budget movie come to life at their own computer by working with AI to make their vision a reality. That's what's going to happen. And that's going to produce some amazing art. But there's also going to be people who just want to smash Clifford the Big Red Dog into other IPs.
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know. Because you're going to have licenses for...
No licenses.
Won't there be actors still?
No, nothing. No copyright. No actors. No
human actors anymore?
Nope, not unless you want to pay big money. But why would you when you can simulate the perfect actor that has
actor.
Perfect actor. Doesn't want any money, doesn't take any breaks. I'm saying, say I have this idea for this epic sci-fi TV series.
Ultimate method actor.
And I can just be like, here's the first episode. This is what's going to happen. I want this to be the opening shot. And then it'll generate something for you. And then you'll be like, no, that's not quite right. The lighting needs to be more like this. Can you please add this? There needs to be more visual interest in the background here. Maybe add some other spaceships going by. And then AI can just do that real quick. And then via that system, you begin to be able to produce...
I don't know.
Your head within minutes?
I like that. I like everything. The one thing is that you still need to have the vision.
Yes. And not everybody will have that.
Not everybody has that.
The people that do will be able to make it come to life. So you're going to have just as much soulless art out there.
Here's the other thing though. Here is also what I'm hearing. The other thing that I'm hearing here is I'm seeing the thing where the one guy plays all the instruments in the band.
Yeah.
Maybe that is also possible with movies, but I think you lose something without... Movies are always much more collaborative than people realize. And
there's nothing stopping this being a collaborative thing. Right? Me and you want to make our pirate movie we wrote.
Yeah,
we don't need to get wet and get the sea on us.
We don't need to rent a pirate ship.
Imagine if we just that process we did when we were writing the script. As we're writing the script, we're seeing the actual shots on a screen as we're dictating them and deciding whether it looks right. And then me and you could be like, "Hey, is this the right tone for this shot?" And then if it's not, we just tell the computer, "Hey, change your goddamn tone," and it does. And maybe we could pump out fucking an episode.
I don't know. I think people will still be limited by the real rules of the art form and the people who understand the language of film. They're the only ones who can really do this.
I think that people that are really like really love cinema or whatever and the art of filmmaking are going to be the very best at this process. But yeah, anyone can do it. So you're going to get a lot of garbage out there, but we're already getting a lot of garbage. But you're going to open up people that don't have the resources but have the creativity. Now they're going to be able to produce high quality art.
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. And I know, I know I'll sound like an old, stupid, old coot, but I'll believe it when I see it.
All right. There you go, folks. You can email us at tpspod420@gmail.com. We've gotten no emails, in case you guys were wondering. tpspod420@gmail.com. We will talk to you at another juncture in time.
Yes.
Yes. Bye.
See ya.
Podcast.